Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Bear with me tonight. I'm exhausted. I've been working on the game all day, building selection. It's a 3D world, and I was annoyed by the fact that in first-person shooters, you never really get to select buildings in the way you did traditionally in a 2D game like Dota. Well, Dota 2D. It's fake 3D, 2D. Or in a game that's truly 2D, like Command and Conquer. And so I started a system of selection of buildings in 3D space. And I'm very interested at the product. It's going to be a unique thing to be able to make building decisions, not by hugging the building, but by clicking on it while in a first-person shooter. New guy says, Jeff, oh, sorry about that. I don't know what you're talking about. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, why Bitcoin no go up? Well, I mean, the thing is, it could be that Joe Biden is planning to sell the Bitcoin at a low price just before handing the American government to Trump, perhaps as a way to cripple the promise of Trump. Because Trump has promised to the Bitcoiners, we're going to keep the Bitcoins. But Trump doesn't get to decide if the American government sells these Bitcoin before he gets elected. And so imagine how this promise would be neutralized if Biden was to sell the Bitcoin already. That could be a very bad move. It would be an objectively bad move from an economic standpoint. But it could happen. It could happen, and it could happen in the way Kamala has stolen the idea of the no taxes on tips. You know how the Trumpists were frustrated. Oh, it's unfair! She stole our ID. It's like, yeah, the world is unfair. Welcome to politics. Politics is even more unfair than the world, and the world is already pretty unfair. So it was funny, but perhaps they have a plan to neutralize each and every promise of Trump. And that may be Kamala stealing the tax on tip ID, could be Joe Biden selling the Bitcoins, because we're seeing transfers from the American government right now to Coinbase, which may announce that a flow of Bitcoin is about to go on the sell side. To me, it doesn't matter long term, but it could cause quite a crash right now if Joe Biden was set on this ID. YGB says Bitcoin not go up because we are 1 year before the end of the cycle. We were ahead of market and had to come down, but we're still ahead compared to last cycle at this point of the cycle. Exactly. To anyone asking why is Bitcoin not going up, you got going up for free for the last year or two. I mean, you did a 4x. You did 4x, you cannot be complaining. It would be wild if Bitcoin was still going up today, because Bitcoin was in advance with respect to previous examples of cycles. So yeah, I'm personally totally confident in my Bitcoin, but some people... Oh, I need to go to sleep. Some people are getting worried because they don't see, but the action has happened before. The action has preceded our expectation. So, of course, it had to calm down for a while. John Drake says, I know you can wait. Just crazy like that. I'll never stop looking for it. Oh, yeah, man, I have my Bitcoin clock right here updated every 5 minutes. Block clock. Beautiful. Still beautiful. A little bit of Diet Coke traces on it, but I don't even wash it because I'm like, every time you wash something, you scrape it, kind of. You damage it further. So I'm like, yeah, I can enjoy some Diet Coke dried calcium traces. That's fine. I can deal with it. I've tested Grok 2.0. Grok 2.0 is out. Supposed to be a superior version of Grok, I challenged it to write a complex stand-up comedy routine. I said, write a complex stand-up comedy show in the Daniel Tosh style, mocking the fact that as a celebrity, you have been invited to a children's hospital to care for cancerous children, but they were disappointed because their first choice was Bradley Cooper, and you were just their second choice. Use dark humor and show a lack of empathy for the fate of these dying children. So Grug gave us this, and you see that it's an improvement. The humor is a little more complex. Grug has always been the best AI at comedy, but here it goes a little more complex than it would. It's less stereotypical, because Grug used to make these very low-level jokes. Now it's more serious. He says, clears throat, steps up to the mic with a smirk. Ladies and gentlemen, gather around, because I've got a tale of woe that's so heartwarming, it will make your insides colder than a polar bear's toenails. So I get this call, right? Hey, Tosh, we need you to bring some cheer to the kids at the hospital. I'm like, oh, cool, I'm their hero. But here's the thing, I'm not their hero. I'm their second choice. Yeah, you heard that right. Bradley Cooper was their first pick. But apparently he was too busy saving the world or whatever, so they settled for me. It's like being the understudy in a play where everyone knows you're not the star, but hey, at least you're not in the audience, right? So I walk in, and you can see the disappointment in their little cancer-ridden eyes. They're thinking, where's the guy from A Star Is Born? This is the guy who makes fun of people for a living. I mean, I get it. I'm not exactly the poster child for empathy. I start doing my thing, telling them about the time I got a paper cut and how it was the worst day of my life, trying to relate, you know. But then I see this kid, he's got more tubes than a plumber's wet dream. And he's like, are you going to sing Shallow? I'm like, kid, the only thing that's shallow here is my ability to care about this whole situation. So then I try to cheer them up by saying, hey, at least you're not at school, right? Silver lining. But all I get are these blank stares, like they're thinking, dude, we're in a hospital, not a vacation. But here's the dark part. I start wondering, what if I'm not just their second choice, but their last choice? What if after me they just give up on life? So I'm there trying to make these kids laugh, but all I can think about is how I'm the human equivalent of a participation trophy. Here, you didn't win, but you showed up. In the end, I left feeling like I did more harm than good. I mean, I'm pretty sure one of the kids asked if I could make his cancer disappear with my comedy. I told him, kid, if I could do that, I'd be on a world tour, not here. So next time you think about inviting a celebrity to cheer up your dying kids, maybe go for someone who can actually sing, or I don't know, maybe just get a clown. At least they can make balloon animals, which is more than I can say for my career at this point. Thank you, good night, and remember, in the grand scheme of things, we're all just someone's second choice. Drops mic. Not bad, you know, there are some people who pay for female stand-up comedy that's worse than this. So it's not Daniel Tosh level, but it's definitely Amy B. What's her name? Amy. I don't even know her name. It's really Amy levels of comedy. And it's okay. There's a skeleton written there. If you could redo the transitions and make it in much more simpler words, less words, more punch to it. Amy Schumer. Yeah, definitely. This is better than Amy Schumer. John Drake says, I think you're up to something, new guy. New guy says, hey, that's got to be the inspiration for the Joker. Because John Drake was saying, as funny as Rupert Pupkin. I don't know who Rupert Pupkin is. So all in all, Grok, good performance. Not at its top yet, but it's getting there. And Grok is now on demand. That is fantastic. Grok is now on demand producing any meme you want. I said Trump dancing with gremlins from the movie Gremlins, and look at this. We got it. That is fantastic. That will lead to much use in the mimetic domain, because sometimes you have an idea for a good meme, but if you do it as image editing yourself, it's not going to look super good. It's going to lack some amount of punch to it, whereas Grok can now do this on demand immediately. And this domain sucks, really, because I've been Googling AI image generation, and it's like, please subscribe to our service, and if you want the image without a watermark, you can pay $10 every month for 5 years. And it all sucks, really. I don't want a service. I want a product that's readily available. I want it to be free, although Grok is not free, but I'm already paying for the blue check mark, so Grok ends up being free, pragmatically at the end. I think that the Republican establishment is shaking in their pants. I said it's a Fred. By the way, someone accused me of not knowing how to write in English because I said it's a Fred. You fucking idiot. It's a Fred is a classic sentence from the Starship Troopers movie. It is the scientist putting his hand on the big insect beast and detecting her feelings and explaining it to the army and saying, it's a Fred. It is not me not knowing how to conjugate words in English. It's a Fred. I think the machine is a Fred. To have a Jewish leftist on Tucker Carlson's show, and Tucker Carlson sending arrows in the direction of Nick Fuentes, that already indicates that shockwaves are expected. Because this is not out of nowhere. Tucker Carlson trying to dunk on Nick Fuentes, not even naming him in the very same way. But I thought that with Tucker, we were getting something different. I thought we were getting someone out of the system, but I was quite shocked when J.D. Vance was picked and Tucker was sitting side by side with Donald Trump that day where they declared J.D. Vance vice president candidate. And Tucker was just standing there as a member of the regime, applauding to this, shaking hands with J.D. Vance. And I'm like, oh, this guy may not be who I think he is. This whole UFO passion of his may be ultimately a justification for not being rational at all times, for developing a crowd that at times can be irrational. Because I think it is irrational when you start criticizing someone and don't even quote him or his name. I think it's Megyn Kelly levels of stupid here. Like, I heard about Nick Fuentes. I don't want to watch his stuff. I don't even want to engage with his points because he's Nick Fuentes. I hate him. I mean, it's pretty much what Tucker Carlson is doing here.
An inside job to a large degree.
Can we just establish that anybody who screamed, let's storm the Capitol, I can think of two people who did, who was not arrested, didn't spend time in jail.
Was defended by Democrats in the Congress.
Yes. But he wasn't alone. There's another prominent person who did that as well, as I know you know, didn't get arrested, didn't go to jail. I mean, what can we conclude from that?
An inside job.
A subtle reference to Nick Fuentes being a Fed. Now, when you have Tucker Carlson accusing someone on no basis that he's a Fed, that shows that the system is worried and that, yes, and then Tucker is compromised. Because first, it's not even... See, when you don't quote people correctly, we can't call you out on your lies. Nick Fuentes didn't say, let's storm the Capitol. Very important. People were challenging me yesterday, sending me clips on Twitter. I looked at the clips carefully. It doesn't say, let's storm the Capitol. So that's a first quote that is not correct. Not correct. He says, disregard the barricades. Show the system that they should be afraid of real Americans or something like this. Disregard the barricade is very different from a positive appeal to storm the Capitol. Disregard the barricade could mean, and that's probably, people were asking me, why didn't Nick Fuentes get sued? Why didn't he get prosecuted? It's because disregarding the barricades is fine. It's not an appeal to a crime. You can say, don't let the barricades intimidate you. Keep going on with what you feel is right in your heart. You can say, disregard the barricade. Don't let them stop you from protesting. Don't let the barricade stop you from speaking. So it's very different. Let's storm the Capitol, which would be a crime. And Nick Fuentes would have been probably prosecuted if he had said this. But he hasn't said this. And now we have Tucker Carlson passing shit on his show in a critical moment where everyone wants the head of Nick Fuentes, based on an absolute lie. Pebble in the pond sends a super chat. He says, always look forward to your show. Well, thank you very much. Nick Fuentes was writing on Twitter, for some reason, Tucker Carlson refuses to say my name. He refused to say it when he publicly supported Griper War in 2019, and again when he addressed my placement on the no-fly list in 2021, and again when he bad-jacketed me over January 6th yesterday. What gives? Let's start respecting each other enough so that we can have a kind of public conversation that is civil enough, because in the absence of such a public conversation, then it's war, then it's civil war. And one of the elements of a respectful public conversation is not to dehumanize your opponents. And it is a dehumanizing thing to have words put in your mouth and the person not even having the balls to attribute these words to your name. Tucker, you suck on this. And you will fall just like the rest of the establishment if you continue wanting to protect yourself in that ivory tower of the Republican establishment. You will fall with it. Fuck you. The email campaign of Nick Fuentes is effective enough. We don't know what we observe and what that means, but it certainly has consequences in the real world enough that the two emails that were particularly targeted by the campaign have gotten canceled. Your message to Chris Letzivita couldn't be delivered. And your message to Jason Miller couldn't be delivered. So at this point, these emails, Wing Wing says, you got the quote wrong too. Well, I was quoting by memory. I'm certainly closer to the real quote than Tucker. You tell me if I've got words that are wrong and that change the meaning. But I think the quote I've given is a fair representation of what I've heard, certainly. You tell me if you have a better quote, and what does it change? What does it change in my evaluation? Trump campaign accounts of Chris Lachivita and Jason Miller deactivated. Now, we don't know what that means. Does this mean there was just too many emails? And they said, all right, well, since we're targeted by this campaign, let's delete the accounts and start new ones. Or does it mean that perhaps they're getting fired? Perhaps they don't need these people at the campaign anymore. And to show you the kind of people and how grave it is what the Groypers are pursuing. This is Susie Wiles, senior advisor of the Trump campaign. This kind of anti-white boomer is what is heading the Trump campaign right now. And the idea that she's going to express is exactly what's wrong with America right now. It's this whole implicit anti-white racism of we want a new voter base. You know, because there's kind of some dust on the old voter base. You know what I'm saying? And so we kind of want something fresher, like pineapples, like Bugu Bugu from Africa. This is what she says. And this girl is at the top of the Republican campaign.
We knew going into this election that it really was time to change the Republican coalition. The traditional Republican voter coalition just simply can't, I don't believe, elect Republicans any longer.
So she starts with a factual claim, which I was about to say false. But now she says, she switches. She moves the goalpost to, I don't believe. Well, you don't believe that Trump was elected in 2016? You don't believe that it was done basically with white voters and white voters only?
So beginning to bring into the tent a larger number of Hispanic voters, certainly making it palatable for African Americans to think. We targeted, we've talked to, we looked at vastly different voter groups than we had before.
She doesn't even know that she will get the black vote. She just wants to be palatable. She wants the black tongue to be applicable between her legs. But she doesn't even know that she's going to get the votes. We just want to be palatable. We want it not to taste too bad for the African American. For this, you're going to lose 2024. Fucking idiot.
We talked to them. We understood what was important to them. We honored their traditions, and I'm happy to say, proud to say that it worked.
It worked. The prediction market is currently getting Trump losing, so it didn't work. Trump is with these deluded people, and we now have the black second hand of Nick Fuentes. This guy who had shown with a cape, you know, when Nick Fuentes got banned from TPUSA, he showed somehow with a cape on top of a building, and it was a kind of superhero moment. But this guy is apparently the biggest fan of Nick Fuentes, and there he is on RSBN pushing the Groyper War and saying, I have a problem with this campaign leaders.
I love Trump. I love him to death, but I'm not a real big fan of his campaign. I'm not a real big fan of Chris LaCivita, Susie Wiles, and even J.D. Vance, who was a never Trumper. So it begs the question, why are we even here? I love Trump. I love him.
It's always good to have these black guys who, of course, will be picked by the media, even far right media like RSBN. Far right, let's say right wing media, even right wing media like RSBN, they will want the black interviewee. So he gets a spot and he spouts Nick Fuentes talking points. And I don't know if that's true, but certainly that has gotten people excited. Disclose that TV, which is not known to report crap. Normally, if they report something, it will be based on some factual or report that was made. And they say Trump reportedly in talks to fire campaign managers Chris LaCivita and Susie Wiles. Wow. That would be a victory without even an effort. I would have never expected that we would be here within 24 hours of the official beginning of the Groyper Wars, but I mean, we don't know if that's true, but just the fact that it's a rumor right now, and it's according to the Daily Mail. So, I mean, the Daily Mail is a crappy outlet, but I don't know them to be reporting falsehoods. They do a lot of attraction with weird titles and mimetic titles, but generally they are factual. Orkin Man says, sounds like the I'm monitoring the situation. Well, we'll see. But either Trump doesn't move, in which case the war follows its course. And it will hurt. And what can Trump do if he's 5% more down? But because he's already a little bit below Kamala in the prediction market. What happens if he gets well below Kamala? He's going to have no choice but to change tactic. And that change will inevitably have to be in the direction that Nick Fuentes has extended an olive branch for him. So there will be an opportunity for sure at some point where there will be a rapprochement where Nick Fuentes can choose, do I consider that this is enough? Do I say, all right, we negotiated and he got at least there and I appreciate this? Or is that not enough and do I demand more? And I was noting on Twitter yesterday before going to sleep, like it or not, inducing Trump's defeat now would be more important in the development of a true American right wing than his 2016 victory was. Let us write in history that a subverted Republican Party can never win again, no matter what brand sticker they try to put on top of it. Yes, Kamala is bad, and that's perfect. She will be a stronger punishment. I don't think that Trump has much time in front of him to deal with this, because it either is going to be inevitably directed toward losing with the same people that are around him right now. Because what we've heard from Susie Wiles in this clip is exactly what's wrong. And it's not even centrist. It's far left thinking. It's anti-white thinking. This whole idea that, oh yeah, we can leave whites behind. That just for the sake of being palatable to the blacks, we can leave 65% of the population behind us and not talk about them at all. That is ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. And this war, therefore, is totally justified. And I'm becoming more and more cemented in my view that, yeah, I would celebrate a Kamala victory. I would celebrate us taking a shit on the Republican establishment and telling them, you don't do this to us ever again. That's my personal opinion. That is interesting. I really like experimentation. If you can do the experiment to know if something is true, you should, rather than yap and yap at me on Twitter. And I had people who have yapped at me on Twitter saying that, JF, it's impossible that the Trump shooting happened because an AR-15 bullet would explode your ear. There is no chance that a bullet like this grazes. Even if it grazed, it would have exploded the ear. And I was like, you don't know this. I mean, it has to be false under some boundaries because I know physics. Like, you're going to tell me, well, the ear explodes if the bullet is there. Okay, what about 1 millimeter to the left? Well, the ear still explodes. Okay, what about 1 more millimeter to the left? Well, the ear still explodes. Okay, what about 5 micrometer more to the left? There has to be a point at which the ear doesn't explode. You get it? And these conspirationists were insulting me and saying, JF, you're divagating. They were treating me like I'm crazy for saying, no, it might just be that a bullet has grazed the ear of Donald Trump. Now we have someone who has been shooting pig ears. Yes! Pig ears with AR-15 bullets to determine what happens. And I was totally right. And of course, anyone rational would know, and you guys know, but it's worth it to see the experiment.
Hello, Internet. I am Devin Erickson, science fiction author and Internet loudmouth. You can find me on Twitter. And today we will be resolving the question of what happens when a 5.56 millimeter NATO bullet meets an ear, which has been controversial lately. So the idea behind this is that bullets tend to do damage when they transfer energy. And the contention is that something thick and heavy will cause a transfer of energy and cause the bullet to tumble or break up and tear more of the material. And when you hit something light and thin and weak like an ear, bullets tend to punch right through. So today we will be shooting one pig ear and one book. My novel, Theft of
Okay, I think that'll do.
No, we don't care about your book, bro. We want the pig ear.
As you can see, the pig's ear did not
Look at this. So, of course, yes, if it does this straight at the middle of the ear, yeah, it can graze, and it can graze in a very superficial way, or it can graze in a piercing way. It can basically do anything between this and less. A bullet can do this because it can hit you in the center, or hit you at an angle, or hit you barely at all.
Explode. It is not shredded. It has a small piercing, and you can see where the bullet went through the cardboard behind. So, there is no point in arguing about that which can be resolved by experiment.
All right, we have the answer. The schizos are schizos, and that's it. Oh my god, this guy is hilarious. He is so good. This guy, we had another video of him shared. This time he is describing
crab stuff.
Describing the evolutionary history.
Just crab.
Oh my god, this.
Just crab stuff.
YouTube Shorts and their desire not to have a play button. It's like everyone wants a play button. Just put a fucking play button. Anyways, he's describing the evolutionary history of horseshoe crabs. You know, these horseshoe crabs are these gigantic insects or whatever, arthropod of some kind. And for the purpose of science, we plug them, we keep them alive, and we let them piss their own blood because their blood is worth hundreds of dollars for small amounts of it because it contains something that we need. And the guy describes the evolutionary history of the horseshoe crab. Let's have a look.
Stuff. Mm-hmm. Sipped in sand, you know, man, just crab stuff. Living in harmony with my environment for the past half a billion years, you know. That's what's up.
Oh, hey, yo, those are the new species.
Oh!
Yeah, they're called, humans.
Humans, really?
Well, hey, humans is one of, like, the oldest species on the planet. I just want to say, give them a welcome.
Hello, and welcome to Earth, humans!
I'm going to use your blood for science.
What?
Oh, my God, Frank!
Man.
What are you doing?
I'm gonna call you a horseshoe crab.
What the fuck is a horseshoe?
Yeah, what's up?
His psychopathic facial expression is so so profound. I love this guy. And he ends with, I'm gonna call you. I'm gonna call you a horseshoe crab, and the crabs are like, what the fuck is a horseshoe? Oh, amazing guy. There's lots of talks around this Ray Gunn,
for them,
performer who has made one of the historically worst breakdancing performance at the Olympics. Of course, breakdancing itself being questionable as a sport. But on top of it, she was a bad breakdancer. And she really did moves that were very awkward. And it was like, did she practice at all? And it turns out that actually there's a whole story where she's in Australia and she has self-awarded this status to become, to be at the Olympics, because the Olympics committee didn't have the expertise. So they contracted a local company to do the choice, but she inherited power in this company somehow and named her own husband as judge. And now there were actual breakdancers, and people are sharing the videos. There are actual breakdancers. This is the woman who lost to Reagan, and she's much better than Reagan. She lost because the judge husband has decided to put her score down so that his wife could make it to the Olympics. And his wife ended up getting zero at the Olympic, the score of zero. Like, you haven't even done. It's like you could have been absent and you would have gotten zero. Molly! Now, think whatever you want about breakdancing, but that's definitely better than the other woman who was accepted in the Olympics. So basically, the real breakdancers of Australia were all fucked in the ass by this duo of a man and a woman who got her own husband to judge her. That's how she made it into the Olympics. AF Post reports, while Peter Navarro was jailed for defying the January 6th committee, Trump's co-campaign manager Chris Lacivita was saying Navarro and other loyalists involved in Project 2025 will be barred from a future Trump administration. A very good documentary thread on everything wrong about Chris Lacivita. Basically someone who has no respect for the role of loyalists that were needed for Trump to be where he is right now. You know, these early fans of Trump, the people who were already for Trump in 2016, and the people who have fought also for the conception that Trump was truly elected in 2020, but that they stole the election from him. All of these people have been swept under the rug by the current establishment, and Lacivita is one of the people behind this. Blackwater Park says, I hate any sport without objective metrics. Not a big fan of sports without direct interaction with an opponent either. Yes, it's true. The sport against nature, like you are really sporting against a chronometer in many of these sports. And it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird because it's like, okay, well, you're doing that performance in front of me, but you could have beaten the world record in a dark room and I'll never know about it and it won't ever count for a medal. And yet you are fighting against not the person who's running beside you. You're fighting against the chronometer in the end. Russia is ready to execute nuclear attacks on NATO target, according to leaked documents. Well, those are plans drawn up between 2008 and 2014. So I think it's a while ago. We don't have to particularly worry. Anyways, the US also has plans to strike Russia. So what's the problem? Those are tactical planning that are totally normal. Pentagon belatedly reveals that 8 US troops were wounded in Syria attack last week. The Pentagon belatedly revealed Tuesday that a total of 8 U.S. troops were wounded in a drone attack. Also, this was when a bunch of drones headed in the direction of American bases, and 8 people died on the American side. Owen Benjamin asks an important question. Although Owen Benjamin is a deluded fool, a crazy person who will head into death, becoming more and more demented, but already being quite demented for a man of his age. However, he does have an important point here.
And I'm like, isn't evolution mean that, you know, if we're all descended from monkeys, aren't some races closer to monkeys? Like maybe the ones that are living near the monkeys and looking more like the monkeys. He was like, no, we're all equally separated from the monkeys.
That is true. We are all equally separated from the monkeys in time. That is the amount of time that has elapsed between us and the common ancestor is the exact same. The common ancestor of the monkeys and us was one individual that actually lived at a given time, and he gave birth to both humanity and the current monkeys. Same thing for worms, for example. I think it's easier, as I say in my tweet, if you think of it on a larger time scale. There was a worm at some point. This worm has made babies. Some of the babies became humanity. Some of the babies stayed worms. And the worms of today are separated from this common ancestor worm by just as many years as we are. That is about 1 billion years. About 500 million years, maybe. 500 million years. So the difference is that one line of descent has gone through very differentiating changes, whereas the other line of descent has gone through almost no differentiating changes, such that despite the time that has elapsed, there was always a way for the worm descendants that became the worms of today to continue living as worms. So they had no reason to develop other adaptation. They were living and they were doing well. Whereas the line that became humanity, well, it was thrown on a whole series of changes that cascaded together, some of them leading the worm to acquire swimming capabilities, some of them eventually leading those fish to acquire land walking ability, and ultimately tree grabbing ability, and ultimately becoming humans. So yes, an equal amount of time, but definitely the worms of today are more like the common ancestor worm than we are. And that's because in the very same amount of time, you can have a lot of changes or no changes at all. You still evolve even when you don't change, but you evolve things that are less visible. You accumulate mutations, you may change styles, you may change various non-important features that are not visible, but you don't evolve. You evolve things that are visual and observable simply because you are in an environment where these things are necessary for survival and help your survival. 61-year-old Brit gets 18 months in prison for chanting, "Who the fuck is Allah?" Well, you know, I don't think that's hateful. I'm surprised that... Oh, he also said, "You're not English anymore." Telling the police officers, "You are not English anymore." I mean, really? Do these things, like... Maybe this guy just doesn't know who Allah is. And it's not necessarily hateful not to know. As a last news item, the shiny new Kamala Harris that propaganda built. I totally agree with this article. Kamala is a construct. Kamala has never been popular. Her approval rating as a vice president were the lowest historically. She's really not a candidate that is interesting. But the Democrats are who they are. They are ideologically pursuing their win, and they will side behind Kamala. That's beautiful to see in a way. And they put their whole machine, and it's like the machine decides Kamala is great now. And now Kamala is great. That's what you see in the leftist media right now. You have to admire the leftist devotion where they can change what they believe. Like, reality is not something fixed to them. It depends. Boiling Frog says, "Hey, JF, have you seen the video about spiteful mutants by the Jolly Heretic? He asserts that 82% of our genome is the coding for the brain. Is it true? Video is worth a watch, maybe 5 minutes. Basically, it's about Antifa weirdos." Well, I've always challenged the conception of spiteful mutants. I don't think it's the right term to describe what he wants to describe. That being said, on your question, 82% of our genome is the coding for the brain. I know the articles that are suggesting this, that he refers to. I think it's a little strong of a statement. The thing is, people will do expression experiments. They will trace throughout your whole body. If I trace an RNA segment of this gene, where is it expressed? And they will find, oh, it's expressed in the brain. And yes, there is a massive amount of such experiments that conclude, well, this set of gene is expressed in the brain and nowhere else. Or it's expressed in the brain and maybe a little in the liver, but nowhere else. So yes, I think the 80% figure is a little high, but it's probably something like this. Definitely the brain is an important seat of genetic expression. New guy says some 30% of our genome is banana. Well, see that's interesting. This is a very interesting contrast you're making there, because this 30% is obtained through a very different mechanism. See, the 30% that we share with the banana, it's not segments like genes. Like, these experiments are based on segments, genes that are expressed in RNA, whereas the 30% with the banana is, if I take a segment, how many letters in that segment relate to the banana, and then you get that 30%. Very interesting, because in the end, it all shows the inappropriateness of even thinking of the genome as percentages. Because percentages, they stem from arithmetic, and they are inherently additive. See, the first thing, if I tell you that the election results have arrived, we have 95% of the people who have voted for Trump. Oh, but Kamala Harris has won because she has 123% of the people who have voted for her. Immediately, you're like, Jeff, wait a minute. You're telling me that 123% of the American population voted for Kamala? Yes. The thing is, you have an implication when you work with percentages, which is that there can only be 100%. But if you have different definitions for your percentages, then, so for example, if you were to tell me there's 80% of the genes that are that are solely for brain function, then it wouldn't make sense if we shared 30% of our genes with bananas. Because what, are you telling me that bananas have 10% of our intelligence? Like, where's this 80 plus 30 is above 100%? How is it that we get 10% more? How is it that the banana somehow is using genes of brains to do her banana stuff? That doesn't work. And it doesn't work because ultimately percentages They're just a loose way to think when we think of genes, but they are not the way. And they are very often fooling. They are also fooling in the nature-nurture dichotomy. When people say it's 80% environment, 20% this, 20% genes, it's not really how it works. That is it for tonight. Boiling Frog says, exactly, JF, the banana doesn't work. Indeed, the bananas do not work. Shrink Mamel says, JF, the girl I'm talking to wants us to wait 2 years before we get married. Should I focus all of my efforts on her or multiple women in Vietnam? Well, I'm so frustrated. I hate waiting for insemination. Shrink Mamel, you are at the crossroads. As a 40-year-old man, if a woman was to come to me and say, Jeff, I want us to be together, but we have to wait for 2 years for insemination, it would be direct Mortal Kombat, karate style, savate, just boom, and I would kick her out of my life. Now, Shrink Mamel, I think you are younger than me. You have time ahead of you. And so if you want to develop a decent relationship with a woman that you estimate has very high value and she's worth that 2 year investment, go for it. Of course, you're going to get rewarded with a higher quality woman if it's true. But you're going to get punished with absolutely nothing if it's not true. So evaluate her morals, evaluate her moral standing, evaluate the quality of her commitment to you. And if it's worth it and if you can afford it, do it. Because in the end, you're at least going to get probably a higher quality female, the same way I got a higher quality female right now, because she has morals and that makes life very interesting. So she may be your way out of these thoughts who you're just trying to inseminate because they're so crazy. You can't even see life with them and how it will work. So try it. And if it's worth it, if you are certain of her commitment or you are relatively decently certain of her morals and her loyalty to you, then sure, do it and you'll be happy. Or you'll have paid a price. And if you pay the price of having wasted, say, 6 months or 1 year, that's a price that maybe you can afford because you're not done after this. You're just back to your regular game and boom, you continue inseminating. So it can be worth it. In other words, it can be worth it if she's of quality, morally and loyalty-wise. Bye-bye. Thank you.